All right.
I think it was back on Thursday night. Right. You guys used to do a local.
Yes. And that was thing. Was it with Taylor Courtney?
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Ready to have some fun.
I'm ready.
I'll cut all this out. It's going to be good. All right. Here we go. Coming to you in 3, 2, 1. Hey, everybody. It is Skip Clark, and I am live in the Inner Harbor studios, and it's all part of Inner Harbor Media. We have 4 radio stations. We have The Dinosaur. We have 96.5 The Beat. We got Fox Sports. And of course, you know, I do 92.1 The Wolf. And that gives me an avenue to talk to the gentleman that we're going to be talking to today. His name is Josh Deakins. And he's a independent artist. He is a local boy. He's been to Nashville. He recorded in Nashville. He's now back here. And hey, Josh.
Hey, how's it going today?
It's going good. It's good to see you, man.
It's good to be here. It's great to be here.
Is this like the first time you've ever been in our studios? The historic.
The historic. Yeah, big deal. Years ago, I came in for the Thursday night local
That's
show.
Right, you guys with Taylor.
Did. Yeah, with Taylor. Yeah, absolutely. And I was in a different room, but me and my lead player, TJ, came in and we had a great time playing and talking on the air, but that was a while ago.
Yeah, that was a while ago.
Yeah.
Courtney's gone on to much bigger things and all the power to her, but she was always great with those interviews and always hooked up a lot of our local people to get them known, get them on the radio and all that good stuff. But you're doing really well. Tell us a little bit about you. Where are you from?
I'm originally from Pulaski, New York, up near the Salmon River. If you know where that is, big deep into Oswego County.
You
got
a
4x
and you have a huge ass plow.
Yeah.
Because if you live up there, a snowblower, big ass shovel. Yeah.
Everybody's driving something 4-wheel drive. It's not 4-wheel drive, you can't live there.
It's like it's beautiful here, but in Pulaski, they're getting, you know, snow and the maybe like a foot of snow.
Oh, time. The past couple years haven't been that bad. We've been, I don't know if it's blessed or cursed, because those of us that live in that area learn to thrive in it. Like that's where our economy comes from,
man.
And you know, ice fishing and snowmobiling. And so a lot of us complained about the light winter, to be honest with you.
And talking about all that, do you do all that? You snowmobile, do you ice fish? Well, you couldn't. There's no way this year you did much ice fishing.
No, I could. I didn't get out at all ice fishing this year. Normally I'm a big walleye guy. I like going out there. I got one on my hat. But we didn't get, we were going to do a trip up north. We like to go up to Chimaux or even in Canada and go chase some eyes up there, but, we couldn't make it happen this year. A lot of that ice, I mean, a lot of those places that normally have 2-3 foot didn't even get fishable ice on it. So it's pretty,
I know it's kind of different. I don't think I've ever seen it like this, but, it is definitely different. Walleyes on your Facebook page. I think you're holding a walleye. I think you might have the fam there with you.
Yeah.
Holding a walleye as your header, which is pretty cool. I know my dad, Oneida Lake, we used to go out for the walleyes.
Oh, yeah. We do a lot of fishing down in Oneida Lake. Crossroads Auction Center, my family's business, on the shore of Oneida Lake.
North, south, north,
it would
right?
It would be on the north side. Yep. Right across. If you go across the bridge in Burton, head north.
Yep.
You kind of go
right.
You take a right there. You go by 619.
So you go across the bridge, you get off Central Square and take a right on 49.
Yeah.
My parents lived in Bernard's Bay.
Oh, yeah. So you know all about it. Yeah. So
a little bit about it, but.
Yeah. So I grew up right there. So I spent a lot of summers fishing at a lake for walleyes. We got the big walleye derby coming up on first weekend in May. They do the big walleye derby.
What about the Salmon River? What about going in and, you know, getting some of those?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We do that. I had a big boat for quite a few years. I had a 23 footer that we kept right up there on the lake. We'd go chase them in the lake and go troll for salmon and browns and steels and Lakers. But then I also live on a little tributary off of Ontario. So I get a lot of steelheads and stuff that run right through my backyard. So I got 2 young boys. I got a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old. And we go back there and we chase the salmon all around and the browns and stuff.
How much fun is that to have, you know, a couple of little boys following their dad and just knowing that they're watching everything you do?
Oh, it's everything, man.
And be careful what you say, because they're going to start repeating.
Exactly.
And then Rodney Atkins does the song, with his son Elijah's in the pickup. And he says something and his son repeats it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm having a brain fart. But
I've been watching you, Dad.
Yeah, watching you. Cool. Watching you. That's it. Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. So it makes you think a lot when you got these little shadows following you around. Yeah. And
so have you always like been country?
Well, when I was in high school, I started, well, we'll go back pretty far here. I played football for my high school. I'm not a big guy, right? They made me a defensive end that lasted about 3 weeks into the season, and I broke so many bones that it wasn't even funny.
Seriously?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I ended up on the couch, and at the time, my brother was playing guitar. Mm-hmm. I didn't play. I was probably about 14, 15 years old, and so I was stuck. So I was, well, I guess I'm going to play guitar, right? So I started playing guitar and never went back to football again.
Really?
And I started kind of doing what a lot of kids that age would do, a lot of rock, you know, and played a lot of that kind of stuff, played in a couple church youth groups.
Oh, cool.
Okay. Actually, when I picked up the guitar on a Monday, by that Saturday, I was playing in a church youth group.
How did you learn so fast?
I don't know. Someone showed me a couple chords, yeah. And by like that Thursday, Friday, they had a guitar player that wasn't there, and they said, well, you can play a couple chords. I said, yeah, I learned them on Monday. And they said, well, do you want to play? I said, sure, I guess I'll play.
Yeah, that's a great way to learn, too. Yeah. You get thrown right into the fire.
Oh, yeah, man. I tell you what, my fingers hurt so bad. By the end of that show, I said, boy, I want to do this. This is something I really want to do. And I've always been a country boy. I've always grown up in the country. I've always listened to country. So it didn't take me long to gravitate towards that. And I've been playing it ever since.
Love it. I love it. So you've got a band. Is it the Grizzly Ridge Band?
Grizzly Ridge Band, yeah.
All right. And these are the guys that they've been playing with you pretty much right along, correct?
Well, I teamed up with a couple different guys throughout the years. You brush a lot of shoulders when you're in the music industry. Sure. And you meet a lot of different people in different walks of life, which is great, and you appreciate that. Actually, really, the Grizzly Ridge Band got established when we opened up for Eli Young. Is kind of how that worked out.
I remember that.
Yeah, you were. I think you were at that. You were at that show.
We did the presents there. Yes,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah. So it is actually a pretty wild story. If you hear it, it was right after COVID. Mm-hmm. COVID kind of was going on, music scene changed during COVID.
Oh boy, did it!
A lot of bands broke up because you hadn't played out in 2 years. You couldn't play out. Mm-hmm. You were doing at home, you know, live streams or whatever you were doing. I was working in a steelworkers union at the time, and I got stuck on night shift, so I was really off the, you know, really buried deep in the world. And so I bumped into the owner of Sharky's, and actually at my family's company. And I said, hey, I heard you got Eli Young coming to your event center. And he said, I do. And I said, who do you have opener? He said, well, I don't have anyone right now. I said, I'm your guy. I'll do it. He's like, you got a band? I said, absolutely, I have a band. I didn't have a band.
No, of course not. But and, you had a band.
I did. I'll get a band. So I made some phone calls, and we had about two practices together. By the time we got everybody together to do the show, we practiced twice. By that following, I believe it was a Saturday. Yeah. We opened up for Eli Young, and I mean, the show just, it was great.
Well, you know, everybody in that show that whole night, whether it was you or Eli Young, everybody clicked.
Yeah.
And especially for you, just kind of, hey guys, this is what we're doing. We need to learn all this and we need to do it quickly. It all worked out well for you. So
yeah. And my drummer, my lead player, they weren't really country guys. They play in a lot of rock bands and stuff. And so, you know, a lot of them, I'm not teaching them how to play the song. They never heard the song before a day in their life.
Yeah. But you know, I think they get it down really quick, and there's a lot of drummers. There's a lot of people, whether it's country or rock, there's a connection there.
They feel it's all music, man.
It's all music.
All music.
All music.
And so they just feel that vibe and they run with it. And I like it because it gives everything its own flavor. Like, you know, when we play out, when we do a cover, it's your hooks are the hooks, and you got to have those or whatever, different licks. But you know, everything always gets its little tweak, and it gets its own flavor from us that I appreciate playing with a lot of these guys. And, we got there and we played. The show was fantastic, but we had a great crowd that night. I got done and I looked at those guys and said, you guys want to do this again? And they said, absolutely. Absolutely. We want to do this. So I said, let's keep going.
Did you have the opportunity? Did you play at the Wingfest last year?
Yeah, I did play Wingfest last year.
That's right.
Too.
I thought I'm trying to, it's kind of, it's there, but it's not there. But I'm pretty sure Josh did that. So.
Yeah, that was great. Battle of the Wings up in the Inner Harbor right here.
Right over here across the street.
Yeah, and we'll be at Wingfest again this year.
Cool.
We'll be at
you Wingfest. On behalf of the Wolf, and I want to make sure you get hooked up and at least talk to some of these people. We got Tiger Lily Gold coming in. Mm-hmm. We got Neon Union coming in. These are artists that we've had here before in some of our Wolf showcases. So the people here know them. They love them. And you know, to get you connected with them would be pretty cool too.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah, we'll work on that for you.
Cool. So. Yeah, we're playing before Neon Union.
Oh, there you go.
On that day. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're going to love that. What do you know about Neon Union?
I checked them out. I listened to their stuff. Their stuff was great, but I don't know them personally. Well, I never really met
them. You know, Leo, the bigger of the two, Leo played for Pitbull, traveled with Pitbull, was in his band the whole time. We talk quite often. Mm-hmm. And he talks about now he's got to fly commercial. He's not on the private jet with Pitbull anymore or anything like that. But the song Fireball, he's the one that goes Fireball.
Oh, really?
That's Leo. So that's he'll tell you the whole story. And if you start looking up Pitbull and you look at the bass player, it's Leo.
That's funny.
How cool is that?
That's really cool.
Yeah, I know. And it just shows, it goes back to what we were talking about a few minutes ago, that, you know, you got this band together and these guys really didn't know country. Well, Leo didn't either. Mm-hmm. But now, look at that. He's got songs on the radio. It's Absolutely. Neon Union. So yeah. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, they got good pretty sounding cool. stuff. I was really impressed with what they're putting out. They had a cool vibe.
Well, so do you.
Oh, thank you.
So let's talk about now you've got a single release party coming up. Tell us about that a little bit.
Yeah, April 27th at Sharky's Event Center. We'll be back on the stage we started on. That's kind of neat how it all came full circle.
Full circle. Yeah,
and absolutely. We're headlining the event. We're celebrating Buckets of Bourbon, the release of the new single.
With Buckets of Bourbon.
Yeah. We got two bands opening for us. It's going to be a 3-band night, which is going to be a lot of fun. I wanted to do something. I do something. I like doing it big, and I like having fun.
Right.
And that's what we're going to be there to do, is just have a lot of fun and love country music and appreciate country music and celebrate the release of this awesome song that we got to cut last year. Buckets of Bourbon.
Tell us about that. Who wrote that? Did you write that? Or let's talk about that a little bit.
You know, I wrote this song. It was kind of funny. My bass player, Will, came to my house. He's kind of the young buck of the group.
Okay.
He's in his early 20s. And, you know, a lot of us were... I'm in my early 30s, and so is my other lead player.
Still a young buck.
My drummer's in his late 60s, though. Yeah, well, and I tell you what, he can hang a lot better than I can. He puts me under the table a lot.
It's the experience, let me tell you. Been there, done that, knows how to handle it.
He played Woodstock 69. He played that.
Now, you know, I don't know if he would appreciate you talking about his age, but no, I'm right there with him. Yeah. Actually, so I know where he's coming from. It's been a lot of years of doing that.
He tells us all the good stories when we're out on the road. We're like, holy cow. But but anyway, Will came to my house and he was kind of going through a breakup, and he had a story out the night before. He looked pretty rough, you know, and he said, man, I woke up and, you know, my heart's in the bucket, and I just got into a bottle of bourbon, and I woke up under a sheet of frost in my front yard. You know, I was like sleeping under my truck and whatever. And he's talking to me about this kind of stuff. And I'm like, oh, I remember my early 20s, barely, you know? and we kind of worked on another song we were writing, and he left, and I just kind of still sat there and just kind of kept playing some things. And next thing you know, Bucket of Bourbon came around, and that kind of came from that whole story that he told me a little bit ago. So it was pretty cool.
Now, you recorded that in Nashville.
Absolutely. Yep.
Tell us about that experience.
Yeah. So last fall, I had an opportunity to go to Nashville and work with a guy named Kenny Royster, which if you know who he is, he's cut some big hits, including Hurricane by Luke Combs. And that song went platinum.
Oh, yeah.
I think a couple times.
Probably. I mean, it's just following. Of course, Luke has other songs following what that song had done.
Yeah.
So it's just crazy. But I know
kicked,
what you're saying.
He kicked Luke off on his adventure. He's
off
been
and
on.
Running.
Yeah, and he did a lot of work with the Dixie Chicks and a lot of people like that. And phenomenal guy to work with. Boy, great vocal coach. He helped me out, kind of smoothed off some rough edges I had and pointed me in a good direction. So we went down there and cut. Actually, it was kind of funny because I asked him a lot of questions when I was there, because I was like, you know, what was it with Luke cutting like fast cars? Like when I heard that on his record, it blew my mind. I'm like, what is this doing on here? And if you listen to his record, it was Growing Up and Getting Old.
Yes.
That wasn't a song that was in the beginning of the record. It was at the end. It was like one of the like 12 or 13.
It wasn't intended to be what it was, what it ended up being.
Yeah.
But, and that's happened to Luke before as well.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, the label may release a certain song, and then after a while, if it's not kicking in and people are saying, oh, this one's much better, or they look at, you know, social media and the streams and all, they'll say, well, you know, we're going to switch singles.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, and that happens more often than not.
Yeah, absolutely. So I asked him, I said, you know, well, two funny things you told me. One was when I brought it up in the recording studio, a lot of the guys that I was recording with were also on that album. So, and they called him Red Solo Cup Guy. They're like, oh, you mean Red Solo Cup guy? I'm like, yeah, Luke, you mean Luke Combs? They're like, yeah, he showed up. He had a Red Solo Cup and he was just spitting it the whole time. And like, we didn't even know what he was saying half the time because he had so much in his mouth.
That's Luke.
Yeah. Like, oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Now he's kind of a big deal. But yeah, we went down there and cut that. So I asked him about fast cars and he said, man, he goes, Luke, he goes, even when he was in the studio, you know, before he was anybody, to warm up, that was a song he played. That was what he warmed up to. And that song meant a lot to him. And played that song. It was always in the set list when he played out, you know, back when he was just a guy playing in local bars like the rest of us.
Yep. Yep.
And it was something that he even a lot of times warms up to today. And so he's just meant a lot to him. So he figured he'd cut it. And I was like,
there you go.
There's my answer.
Yeah, there it is. So did you feel intimidated at all being in Nashville? You're gonna cut your single and you're working with, you know, some people that have some background to them, if you know what I mean, that been there, done that. Did you like go, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening? Or how intimidated did you feel if you did it all?
You know, off the get-go, you do feel that way.
Yeah.
But then after you spend time with you guys, with a lot of these guys, you just realize, man, they put their pants one leg at a time and we're all in the same boat and we're all just trying to do our best. And a lot of them are just down to earth, realistic guys.
I wanted you to say that because that's exactly what I want people to know and people to hear that with the format that we're in, when it comes to country, they do everything just like you and I do.
Yeah. There's
it's so cool. They'll have a conversation with you. They're just like, hey, I'm just doing my job.
Yeah. I'm just here to do it. And they are very talented.
Yeah.
Very talented. Yeah. And you would think they have every right to be different than they are, but they're not. Mm-hmm. They're who they are and they appreciate you for who you are. And I walked in there and they treated me like I was somebody really special. Like I was a Luke Combs or a Morgan Wallen or whatever. And I really appreciated
that. Because
they
know what's going through your mind. You know, this is it. This is a break. This is awesome. You know, you walk in, they were in your shoes once and they know that and they realize that. And they're going to focus on that and nothing else, which is cool. I've seen it happen.
I mean, it was cool. I mean, it is interesting watching, you know, these, you know, very talented and gifted individuals take a song you wrote, tear it apart, and then we all put it back together one piece at a time and, you know, and build something that's just unique and different. And it's me and it sounds good and it gets your point and your passions across to an audience. And it's really cool to watch that all come together.
Now we got Buckets of Bourbon. But is that coming off an EP?
That's just a single.
We
released
an
EP last year.
You released the EP last year.
Yeah, we released an EP last year called Six String Road that had five songs on it.
I do remember, yes. Okay.
And I cut that with a place also in Nashville called Beard Music Group, which they did a lot of work with Luke Bryan when he first came out. Randy Travis spent a lot of time there.
Yep, absolutely.
And so they did a lot with that, which it was good. And they were great guys to work with also, but I was excited to work with Kenny on this new stuff. So we released that last spring, with my label, Warrant Music and we released that last spring and they sent me back down there. I went back down there, last fall to cut two new singles actually. And, we're going to release those as singles. We got, Bucket of Bourbon was released on March 15th. And we got another one that's gonna be dropping this summer.
I love it, man. So. I love it. Here it is. You know, we got a local boy, Pulaski, or some may call it Pulaski, but it's actually Pulaski. Producer Carol sitting over there. She's from the North Country, so she knows all about this. But if you weren't doing music, what do you think you would be doing?
You know, I'm not really sure. Again, go back to Luke Combs on this one. He has that song that says, if I wasn't doing this, I'd still be doing this.
Yeah.
That's kind of what this is, man. It's just who I am. This is what I do. You know, a lot of people ask me, what are you trying to accomplish? You know, what are your goals? What's your end game? And I'm like, I don't really have an end game or a level I'm trying to accomplish. Okay. I'm just being me and doing what I do.
So what do you, when you're not playing music, what are you doing?
Besides the fishing and the hunting.
Okay.
I run a YouTube channel.
Really?
And I run a YouTube channel, Crossroads Auction YouTube channel.
Oh,
and I'm
okay.
on there. Most of the time I'm on there weekly. It's through my family's auction center.
Okay. Are you an auctioneer?
Yes, I am.
Give us a little taste of something here.
All right.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
40, got to be 50, got to be 50, got to be 50, 40, got to be 50, 40, got to be 50, 50, 60, 60, 70,
all right, hold on. How do you do that? Seriously, I could never, ever do that. How does one learn to do that?
Oh,
it's, not to get away from the music at all, but that's amazing.
Oh, thanks. Oh, it's, I don't know. I mean, I grew up in it. My grandfather had an auction house in Hastings.
Okay.
For years, all through the 50s and 60s. And it might have been a little bit later than that, actually. Maybe I'm making him older than he is. But then my father opened an auction house in Central Square about 25 years ago.
Okay.
Been there for about 25 years. So it's something I just kind of grew up listening to and being a part of. My whole life, actually, so.
You do the auctions?
Yeah. Yeah. My dad does a lot of the auctioneering, depending on, you know, because a lot of our sales, some sales will last 8-10 hours. So you get up there and you got to swap out. And
now, when you talk about sales, what are they, like house sales? Are they, you know, what is it, livestock? What is it? Or
so,
anything?
So pretty much anything. Okay. We sell everything from estate stuff, antiques, collectibles, household things to tools and equipment. We do, actually on May 11th, we have a big, in-person event at our facility. We'll have food trucks there and all sorts of stuff. And it's that's generally, you know, equipment. We'll sell excavators and bobcats and tractors and boats and trucks and cars and hot rods.
Are these items that have been repossessed or people? How do you get these?
They come from all different
walks. Not to get away from the music here, but I'm like totally fascinated with this.
Yeah. So they come from all different walks of life. I mean, there's you know, deaths, estates is a big one.
That's true.
You know,
that's
a family comes into a situation like, listen, I have all the stuff, I can't handle it, I don't have to do with it. Or maybe there's a dispute between a family and the judge says, listen, it has to go to auction. If you want it, you know, everything's going to get split and this is how we're going to handle it. Divorce the same way. Repos, people moving on in life. We have a lot of people that are just, hey, listen, I've been a snowbird for the past 5 years, 10 years, and I'm going to stay down south. I just got to get rid of all
this
stuff.
Get rid of my stuff.
And so they kick it to us. Or companies, during COVID, another thing that happened was we started selling stuff online, and that's where the YouTube channel came from. Because we were no longer allowed to have in-person events.
Correct.
So we started live streaming sales. And this opened up a whole nother door, and a whole nother opportunity to sell stuff to people in their homes. You know, and because it's inconvenient a lot of times to come out on a Saturday or Sunday or a Monday to come to an auction and spend all day there, but you can sit on your phone on home and you can buy stuff for an hour, 20
minutes.
That's
amazing. I want to get back to the music, then we're going to kind of wrap this up here, but tell us a little bit about the YouTube channel. What is the actual channel if somebody wanted to check that out?
So you can go to Crossroads Auction.
Okay.
YouTube channel.
All right. So just search Crossroads Auction.
Auction. And you can find it on there. We live stream, you bid right in the comments. And then as long as you're registered on our website, crossroadsauction.net, at the end of the sale, you get an email love with it. Everything you bought, and you come the next day and pick it up.
With the money.
Yeah, it's pretty it. Simple.
All right, let's talk about the music. So you've got the single release party coming up real soon.
Yeah, that's going to be on April 27th. And again, we have three bands. We have Northern Rednecks.
Okay.
And we have... Whiskey Hollow Rush is going to be there too.
Know them.
And they're, cool. I think they won a Sammy last year.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
That's pretty cool.
99.9% sure they did last time around.
Yeah, last time.
So this is in April, the 27th?
27th. That's going to be right at Sharky's Event Center there in Liverpool.
Yep, cool.
Doors open at 5. We're going to kick the show off at 6.
Now, is there an admission or is it just come on out and here we are, we're going to play the single?
There is an admission. Pre-sale tickets are $10. And I'm giving you a copy of my EP Six String Road when you do that one. Nice. I think you can get it at syracusetickets.com.
Okay. Yeah, I believe so. You can go to the Sharky's website, I'm sure, and click on a link. It'll take you where you need to go to get your tickets.
Yeah, and if you find the event on Facebook, there's also a link in the event.
I love that. We've been chatting with Josh Deakins today, and just a great interview. Man, I found out stuff I didn't know. Damn.
Yeah.
It's good. Yeah, the auction thing just kind of blew me away. But but music's your passion.
Oh, yeah.
Music is all you, right, in your heart and soul, and... you know, if you get that opportunity, let me ask you this. I know the business is here and it's a family business, but what are the chances that you will be relocating to Nashville?
You know, I've had a lot of pressure to, you know, different labels and promotional groups. And a lot of people are like, hey, if you were here, we could really do a lot with you. I don't know.
But it's
not
that easy, is it?
It's not that easy. You know, I'm an upstate guy.
Right.
I'm an upstate New York guy. And I like repping this area. I think this area means a lot to me. And I think it has a lot to offer. I think it has a lot to offer the world, in my opinion. And reality of it is, this day and age, with plane tickets and traveling being as easy as it is,
Yeah,
it's not true. That hard to hop into Nashville for a week or two, then hop home.
You could really jump on that Allegiant flight on a Friday and then return on a Monday. I mean, it's fairly cheap.
I've done it several times. There you go. It's not bad, man. You know, and cool. I love my home here. I love my people here, and I love my community here. And I don't.
And we love you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, we love you. If you right at the bottom of this this interview here at the bottom of your screen, you're going to see a link to his website and all the music and all that good stuff. We've been chatting with Josh Deacon. It should be right down there. So we're talking to Josh Deacons, and just great. Get out to the single release party. Buckets of Bourbon is coming up April 27th, and that's all at Sharky's. If you go to the Sharky's website, I'm sure you're going to get the info as well. Thanks for being here, my friend. It's so cool.
Thanks for having me.
See you. Oh, so awesome. Yeah. It's Josh Deacons on the Inner Harbor Cast.